At Mount Carmel, we care for every part of you, from simple checkups to complex surgeries and everything in between. With a team of primary and specialty care physicians, specialized nurses, and expert staff who not only help you get better, but help you stay well. Here, care is compassionate, personal, trusted. We provide care without limits, so you can live that way too. Mount Carmel, more care for all of you.
Hey, Columbus, it's Jenny and Bill from Simple Bath and Kitchen. Are you thinking about updating your bathroom or kitchen?
Don't call some big out-of-town franchise. We're local, top to bottom, right here in Columbus.
We know our city, we know the homes, and we always treat every project like it's our own.
On time, on budget, zero pressure, so you can actually enjoy your home.
Visit SimpleBathAndKitchen.com today.
We make it simple for you.
That's SimpleBathAndKitchen.com.
SimpleBathAndKitchen.com.
Hey, welcome back to Podcast Envy. We have some listener feedback.
Really?
Yeah, we got a couple of listener feedback. Some of them were not worth mentioning.
Really? Was it bad?
No, it wasn't bad. It was just feedback was just not really helpful.
Oh.
It was just kind of like, hey, great show. Or
it's like a cat walked across the keyboard and just typed a bunch of letters.
Yeah.
You're like, cool, thanks.
And, you know, and whatever weird internet bots like try to sell you their website or say, hey, I see you have a website, you know, trying to get me to sign up for their services. Yes. So the first, you wanted to hear. So recently I've been posting our reels, like our short clips that I put on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I've been posting shorts to YouTube as well. And they've been doing pretty well. We've got a pretty decent amount of views. People are checking them out. People are commenting.
Cool.
So one of the clips I posted to Instagram and to YouTube was the one where I was talking about celery and how I didn't like celery.
Oh, right? Yeah.
And like, and obviously I was completely serious and was like advocating against it because one of the comments we got on the YouTube short was, imagine arguing against real food. Like, I wasn't serious. Like, I wasn't like trying to advocate for other people to not like celery. I was just, you know, God forbid I had an opinion.
The celery supporters of America.
Yeah. Like,
this person better have a garden or I'm going to be pissed.
It's just funny that like people feel the need to comment things like that. It's like, what did you add to the conversation by shitting on me, basically?
Are they the type that when they're done with their grocery store celery, they, you know, chop it off, they put it in the cup of water?
Yeah.
And then they
try to regrow
celery
it.
Sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually tried to do that
and
it does not work well.
Really?
I think part of the problem is I may not be, I've actually tried. Well, it is funny you say that, Tim.
Okay.
Because I do follow a couple of people on Instagram that have like green onions, for instance. Uh-huh. That's an easy one. Yeah. Cut it all the way down to the base. I love salting and sauteing the whole thing. But if you just use it as like a garnish, trim it down to the base, put it in a pot, put it in water first, let it grow, put it in a pot. And it does. It continues to grow. Now that one works.
Wow.
I've tried romaine lettuce and I've tried celery. And those are so freaking complicated.
Yeah.
It's too hard. It either gets gnawed up by the bugs and the spiders and the slugs.
Yeah.
I actually went out one night and I walked over and this slug was just snacking on the base of romaine lettuce that I put in there.
Oh man.
And I picked him up and I was like, not today. And I chucked him in the yard. Like, fuck you, guy.
Like, can you imagine? Like, he's like, this is the best feast ever. Right? Like, oh shit. A human.
He's
what are
like,
you doing?
He's like, no, I'm trying to be healthy.
Well, we are really happy today because we have somebody here that we've wanted to interview since the beginning. He's actually been the topic of this podcast conversation for
quite a bit,
5 weeks now.
Yeah.
Every episode we've either mentioned Sinistral or this man by name.
Mm-hmm.
We are here to talk to him about Sinistral, about his music, his musical journey, his journey in life, and just about anything and everything that comes to our mind. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Blaine Perry.
Woo! Buddy, wiggle, wiggle.
Thanks for having me.
LMFAO.
It is a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. So I guess we can talk first about how we met, Radio Envy and Blaine and Sinistral started out this wonderful relationship that we have.
Yeah. So the year is 2017. Mm-hmm. Radio Envy is, 3 years into their career.
Yep.
And we were playing next door as you were taking over the space that you now have for Sinistral. Mm-hmm. Yep. When did you officially open your doors? Do you remember?
It was November.
Was it November?
Yeah, of that year, right?
Okay. Yeah, it's our anniversary is the day before Thanksgiving.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember?
Which is the biggest drinking day of the year.
Yeah, really it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Mm-hmm. Do you remember hearing us, or was it just based off of recommendation? You were like, we're going to start doing live music. These guys are literally right next door. Let's just put the pieces together.
Well, Amy had formerly of Philly Tavern.
Yeah.
Came over and she said, hey, I know you guys have been working. You guys want to come over, hang out? We have a band playing tonight. And so we were finishing up. And I think, I want to say it was, I saw Timmy running around with his tambourine. I said, oh, shit, here we go. I said, I want to go over and check that out.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, there you got a guy running around with a tambourine playing a kazoo.
Dancing, bumping with people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the start.
That was the intro. So you guys took over the space that was right there on the corner of the street by the train tracks.
Yep.
I was racking my brain and trying to look it up online because I can kind of remember the logo of the place that used to be there, but I don't know what it was before you took it over. What was it?
It was Thousand Oaks, and they make novelty barrels.
Okay.
Like so if you wanted to cure your own whiskey.
Like casks?
Yeah. So he was like a cooper, if you will.
Okay.
And you could put, you know, whatever you wanted into the barrels and make your own whiskey at home. So you just start with vodka, and then he add all the flavors to it, and you age it.
Did he?
He actually has the patent on that.
Oh, wow.
With the little wooden spigot and stuff. So it's...
Wow.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't need this place anymore.
And also the thing money. That you see at like most bars where they smoke your old fashioned and stuff, the fog hat, that's his as well. He has
what?
A patent on that.
That's cool.
That's brilliant.
So that came out of Manassas. So did all those little whiskey barrels.
Huh. Is he still local? Do you guys? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's on Euclid.
Okay. Oh, very cool. So right down the road.
So when did the whole beer making start for you?
Well, it kind of started, I mean, I guess when I first started really liking beer. I hated beer. I could not stand beer when I was younger. I wouldn't drink beer. I couldn't stand the taste of beer. I didn't like it. I drank peppermint schnapps for reason. Yeah, I had no. Yeah.
I drink peppermint schnapps too.
Okay. Super horrible. And all my friends were like, God, we have to go to a liquor store because, you know, you can't just drink a 40.
Yep,
right. You know, I'm like,
and you got to find somebody.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Well, we had a guy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
So, and I actually, this is a funny story. We were driving around in a van when we were younger, and I won't mention any names because I don't know. They're all good Catholic boys.
Mm. They're in witness protection.
Weren't we all?
I think I was the only one in the van that was not at a Catholic school. I was at the public school, and the cops knew, because they were like, who had the bottle of peppermint schnapps? I was like, I already ducked out. I was already gone. Yeah. All my friends are on their knees in front of Taco Bell getting arrested. I was like, oh, great. Yeah, I'm out of here.
This chalupa is delicious.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not what I do on my knees in front of Taco Bell. Jesus.
So did you get gifted one of those beer kits and you're like, I'll try it out? Or like, how did that all come about?
Sort of. So I had a buddy who worked for Portland Brewing Company, and he was one of their sous chefs. So he kind of introduced me to beer, also introduced me to fly fishing, you know, I credit him with a lot of those things. Clay was a great guy. He lived across from me in Portland, him and his wife. And, he was just a great guy. You know, you could go down to the brewery, hang out with him, and I didn't have a lot of money, and he knew that, so he would send me out some food. I think it's probably stuff that was being sent back, but you know, either way, it ate the same.
Beggars ain't choosers.
Exactly. Right. And I would get a few beers here and there, and then, you know, I started thinking about, you know, how's it done, got some books, and kind of started from there.
Okay.
Yeah. And then when I finally came back to the East Coast, I was looking for a certain beer that I used to drink out West, and I couldn't find it. It was not being distributed here. Yeah. So I said, all right, now I'm really going at it. I'm going to make this. I'm going to make this beer. Okay. And I did all right making it.
Yeah.
So, not the first time. First time was god awful. It tasted like the devil's asshole. I mean, it was gross. It was, is that bad? No, yeah, it was bad.
Yeah.
It was awful.
And back then when you were first making it, were you able to test the intensity or the...
All the ABV and stuff?
Concentration,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had all the home brewing kit stuff. Yeah. Not like Mr. Beer, but like real... My first batch of beer, I did all grain. I went all grain. I didn't use extracts or anything like that because I had watched people do it so many times out in Portland, being around all the breweries, that I was just like, oh, this is all you mill this, you put this here, you do this, you make sugar water, then you do this, then you do it. And they're like, yeah, just make sure and manage each piece of that. You know,
okay.
It's fine.
So one of the things I've been curious about is because when we go to Sinistral, there's like a really good vibe there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What are you, is that vibe because of something you and your staff are doing, or is that just...
Are you pumping stuff through the air vents?
Yeah, like, is there something coming through that makes me feel better every time I walk in there?
Is it ecstasy somehow?
Sure, ecstasy. No, I really think what kind of separates it from other places is when we had a plan. Stacy, I was about to call it Cookie. Nobody knows that. Stacy.
We can call her Cookie.
Yeah, Stacy.
Can we talk about what I call you?
Yeah, later.
awkward.
But I think in the first 4 years, right? I would say 4 years, almost 5 years. We were there all the time. Mm-hmm. We were working behind the bar. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of set the tone of what we wanted. And then the people who are working for us, this is how we want it. And this is kind of, you know, we want it to be a hometown bar and where anybody could come in and feel, you know, welcomed and walk up to anybody's table and be, hey, how's it going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the kind of thing we wanted. Because I'm sure there's places in Manassas that are like that. But... they're not a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, there's a few breweries in Manassas, and I'm sure you can walk in there and talk to anybody because Manassas is kind of a nice town. There's really nice people all throughout the city. So I think it's a little bit of us and a little bit of the city, you know.
Was the music a forethought or was that an afterthought?
Oh, that was forethought.
Yeah. You 100% planned on having local people in there.
100%.
Displaying their wares.
I always wanted it to be CBGB of Manassas, but we actually paid our musicians.
Yeah.
Important,
which we appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah. So not necessarily that, but that. Yeah.
And you guys have a lot of artists that come through. First Fridays is, I know, a big thing each month, but you have artists that come through from all over the country sometimes.
Yeah. Occasionally. Yeah. We've had some people up from Florida, Georgia, and I don't know where the one guy who's super famous came from. I think he lives in Arizona.
Maybe.
Does he live in Arizona?
Something like
that.
I think he still has the Rock of Love thing on his wall.
Yeah. I think he's in Arizona. I think that's where he's at. But yeah, we try. I told Cookie that I wanted to figure out how we could start drawing bigger bands for, you know, maybe twice a year. We do like a really big concert.
You've got Radio Envy and then whoever else.
Yeah. You're the house
Why
band.
Is that
right?
Funny?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to laugh so hard. I'm sorry.
That I didn't laugh. That was bacon.
Is this an intervention?
No, not. Yeah. No, okay. Yeah.
Tense and
it sounded involuntary.
Yeah. It did. It actually kind of came out.
Yeah.
Like, can't believe you just did that.
Can't get the respect.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, maybe one in the spring and one in the fall. And we kind of do it as where we shut down the streets and we push our ABC permit out into the street, and we have a beer festival, and we invite other breweries too and have like just a complete brew festival, and then have somebody, you know, regional or, you know, national play, you know.
So Centristrol is a really cool name. Mm. So how'd you come up with it, and kind of what is the meaning behind it for you?
It makes me think of sinister, but I know that that's
right.
Not...
Well, that's the root.
Yeah.
Right. So we were trying to get, what was it? What was the name? Oh, Southpaw. We were trying to get Southpaw. And so I sent it in, and I did all of our trademarking and stuff. So I'm dealing with T's and figuring out they're like, who's your attorney? Who's this? I'm like, no attorney. I'm doing this.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, $100.
I'm the registered.
Yeah, I'm doing everything. And so I submitted Southpaw with a specimen and said, I want this name. So they come back about 6 months later and they're like, no, there's a likelihood of confusion. I checked every single thing for beer, for this, for that, for that, and nothing came back. Hmm. And so they were like, well, you probably, and so the guy, they're in either Arlington or DC.
Arlington.
So yeah, I think it's Arlington. So the guy calls me and he's like, hey, I'm your case manager for your trademark. Yeah, man, you don't want to fight this one. And I'm like, well, who's the person? They're like, oh, it's Miller Lite. And I'm like, I probably don't want to.
Armies of lawyers.
Right. And so it was me kind of, what's the thing where you see something and then you repeat.
Association.
You know, what's the damn word? When you see something a long time ago and you just kind of, you think it's your idea, but it's not, it's because you saw it 20 years ago or
you're
whatever.
About the Mandela effect.
Kind of that, but it wasn't missing and it's real. Kind of that. Yeah. But you know, so there was this beer called Southpaw Lager and I guess it was a Miller product and it was the most God awful beer. And
sounds about right.
Yeah. But I think it was their foray into like making craft beer, back in the day. And this is probably 92. 93, somewhere around there. But they sold it at our Dairy Martin in Ohio. And I was like, God, that's gross. Mm-hmm. Well, again, I hated beer. So.
Yeah. Right.
So we couldn't get Southpaw. So I went through dictionaries. I went through
the sources.
And then so finally I just asked, you know, a doctor. I was like, hey, what's another word for, you know, left-handed? And he's like, I'm gonna get a medical book. And I was like, I never thought about that. Because then you think about all the Latin words and stuff like this, you know. And so Centristrol is of the left side. So
I feel like you are appreciating all of this.
Yeah. I am.
Bacon. Yeah.
I am.
So it kind of works.
Quite Centristrol yourself.
Indeed.
Yeah. It's not quite left-handed, but it's, you know, it's of the left side.
Very cool.
Know? Yeah. That's how.
So we did a beer with you. And I'm not sure if that was part of an ongoing beer thing for bands exactly, but...
Yeah, it was like once a month, right?
We did two.
Or maybe it was more than that. Oh, you only did two?
Yeah.
I think you did more than that.
Honey for Joe and your Schneepa. I think it just was kind of organic, and we had... Joe had just released Honey, or was about to release Honey, and he... I heard it before he even played it. Public, like he said, Blaine, come in here. I want you to listen to something I wrote. And we went back into the brewery, and he said, brought his guitar in there, and he was like, "Listen to this, and just tell me if you like it." And he played the song, and I was like,
"Made you thirsty?"
Yeah, I was on my knees in front of Taco Bell. That's such a good callback. Right.
I love it.
It's not a Baja Blast that I want.
No, but he. He played it, and I told him after he finished, I was like, play it one more time.
That's how you know you got a good song.
I said, play it again. Yeah. I really want to hear it again. I need to suss some things out in it. And he played it, and all I could hear behind it was just like a fat organ and just epic song. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's an amazing song. And we had... put in that we were going to make a honey lager, so it just was kind of like
the cosmic forces pulling together. Yeah,
right.
So and then you were like, well, we'll take a chance on Radio Envy, see what they come up with. Yeah. And you were like, what the fuck is a Sneepa?
Yeah. That was so great because he was like, all right, guys, what kind of beer would you want to do? And yeah. Brian and I, we...
Because we had had a Sneepa at another local brewery.
Years ago.
I had never heard of it either, but I was like, damn, like this is delicious. And I was like, Blaine has all the tools and all the ideas.
And all the knowledge of beer. Yep. Hey, Blaine, how about we do a Sneepa? And you go, what the fuck is a Sneepa? Yeah. And Brian and I both look at each other and we're like... Did we call it the wrong name?
Yeah. Like, how do we explain it to the guy that knows more about beer? We're like,
well, it's a sour New England IPA. You know a Nipa, right?
There it is.
Yeah, you just take a Nipa and put a sour in front of it.
And as I remember, I just turned away from you going.
You did.
This is a big mistake.
Yeah. This is a mistake. Yeah.
But it actually turned out pretty good. It was blood orange.
Yeah. I loved it.
Sour New England IPA. Yeah, it was good.
And that was the last time you did it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, never doing that again.
So I didn't have a problem with the beer, per se. What I had a problem was I think the blood orange was counteracted everything. Because blood orange tends to be super dry.
Okay.
So it added this weird dry tartness, but... on top of the sour with the fruitiness of the, it felt like it was fighting.
So, yeah.
Could we get another chance?
Yeah, sure. Awesome. Let's do it. We'll do it with it. Well,
can you do like a lemon Sneepa?
What the fuck is wrong? Well,
can we forget he said anything? Yes. We'll mute his microphone for a minute. And so,
how about we do like a mango or something like that.
Or can we do something maybe closer to fall time, call it like an apple pie type beer? You know, everyone thinks of apple pie like moonshine, but you know, to go along with apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we could always do something along the lines of like an apple pie, but like a beer, put it for the fall time. Or something like that.
I actually have a recipe that's great that Gray, my youngest son, he developed.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. So this is funny. He he came to me and he was like, I think it's fifth grade or sixth grade, something like that. And he said, Dad, school's starting and you know, you're supposed to bring like an apple for your teacher. He's like, I don't want to do that. He's like, can we make my teachers a beer? And can I bring them beer? And I'm like, oh, you can't take beer to school.
But
you know. And he's like, I think some of my teachers come to your bar. And I was like, probably.
Some of our teachers come to your bar.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
your principals and,
and
your gym coach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I gave him all these books, right? And I said, Gray, go through these books. I've kind of leafed pages of if you're going to make this beer, it should be in this style, but go through the books and look at all the styles. And from those recipes, pick out something that you like from one. And see if you can match it and make your own recipe. So he did. And he brought it back and it looked good. I mean, there were some things that were kind of a little out of whack, but he wanted to make a essentially an apple pale ale. Mm-hmm. So it was an apple, so pale ale base, lightly hopped, and a little bit of apple in the fermentation as well. So you had this kind of like, you know, ciderish, crisp, light. Kind of thing
I
that
love
was
everything
happening.
That you're saying.
And it was only like 5.2% or 5.3%.
Oh,
and
you
it
go.
Came out really, really nice.
One of my favorite memories of playing with Radio Envy is when we went back to where you were brewing the beer and we went and had the taste before it was available. I think it was still fermenting
Yeah.
And just kind of standing back there, we were talking music, we were talking all kinds of stuff. It was like such an awesome time to be kind of like behind the scenes and getting the beer and then talking to you about music and everybody. It was just a really, really cool experience.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the things that attracted me so much. I honestly never wanted to open a brewery. I only want to cook. Mm-hmm. If I could open a restaurant, that would be my main thing that I would want to do. But now that I see my friends who own restaurants, I'm like, yeah, nah.
Yeah. And is it bad that my first thought was Breaking Bad when you said cook?
Yeah.
I was like,
let's not count that out.
D. Wayne has entered the show. Yeah.
Have you been on the other side of the train tracks?
Yeah. It's all over there. Yeah. It's conducive to hosting, right? Mm-hmm. It's a bar. You know, it has the it's inviting. There's good people behind the bar. There's good people in the bar. And you know,
you've got liquid, a fantastic
liquid,
space.
Yeah, liquid courage, man. Mm-hmm. It opens up. It opens up your talk box, and you get to, you know, hang out and learn about people.
Yeah.
You
know?
So if you don't mind, we're going to change gears a little bit here and talk a little bit more about the musical side of Blaine.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, because you have your Tuesdays with Blaine at Sinistral. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious where music fits into your life. Is it something that you've always been into from the start, or is it something that you kind of came into as you got older? Where did music hit you?
I think it's always been with me. My mother has no idea. Well, she had no idea where my drive to want to play music came from.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could really figure it out. My brother didn't have any want to play, but I always wanted to play. I always wanted to sing. I was the kid in the car. I wanted to sing and play music and do this. And I asked my mom, since I was like, my real father, he's no longer with us, but he bought me a drum set when I was three. And
ooh.
It was one of those little kind of, it had three toms, Fisher a floor Price tom, and it had a. I mean, it was a commissary.
Like, yeah,
something shipped in from Korea, and mm-hmm. you know, but he let me keep it for 3 weeks because I was up in that room just
beating the shit out of it.
Yeah,
I was just hammering on him, and he was like, "No, those got to go." So those ended up on the side of the street, and then I asked my mom when I turned like, I think I was like 7 or 8. I said, "Hey, I want a guitar." And she was like, oh, no, I don't think so. And I kept asking for a guitar. She bought me a bike. I asked for a guitar. She didn't give me a guitar. Then when my brother turned 12, she bought him an electric guitar and bought him an amp. And I was like, he didn't even ask for that. I wanted that. And so I would always go downstairs, and my brother had a right-handed guitar, and I was left-handed, so I'd just turn it upside down, and I'd play it upside down. And then he would come in, catch me playing his guitar, kick my ass, and I would have to go upstairs and not, you know.
Did you put your nuts on?
Yeah, I put my nuts on his
it's
guitar.
It's like, why are you sweating?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was watching Cops.
I just drug my nuts out across the house.
Could you imagine the slide action on that?
Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of reverb on it. It was wet.
Oh, that's my favorite kind.
Hadn't showered yet.
Yeah, perfect.
So you wear a lot of hats. I mean, just in some of the things that you've talked about, your history, traveling across the country, being in the military, mm-hmm. working or owning, you know, part owner as the card shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my dad. I mean, you ran the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then you moved over here, and then you opened up the brewery, and...
Is there a question in here somewhere?
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. I was like,
I ran out of fingers.
I lost my place.
I didn't know what's going on.
But and you're a musician. Another mm-hmm. passion of yours is photography.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So is that something that has always been a piece of, you know, you just got into it a long time ago and you kind of hit it every now and again? Or is this something that you do full time?
I think if you break every single thing that I do down into its most common thing, they're all related. The photography, the music, the beer, the, you know, art, painting, anything that I do, cooking, it's all for people, right? It's not for me. Mm-hmm. It's me wanting to give something and show something and have people be a part of something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't look at them as like this thing. For me, they're all intertwined, and they just showcase something different.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
No,
does that make sense?
That's mm-hmm. I totally vibe with that. That's part of the reason why I started bartending
mm-hmm.
and why I got into music and why I opened up an entertainment.
They're
company.
All extensions of each other.
Yeah.
They're just you just run in. All you have to do is just turn a different way, but it's the same thing. You apply the same logic to most of
it. But it's another project, right? You still have to learn how to do that.
I mean, yes and no. I mean, yes, you have to learn how to play the guitar,
yeah, that's
which
important.
I still haven't done.
Shut up. You're a songwriter.
Oh, yes.
You got questions for us?
Yes.
Ooh, really?
So, sort of. sort of. I know how you two met. How did you guys meet Bacon?
At Taco Bell.
He was kneeling.
He was kneeling outside.
I was on my knees.
Yeah. I just want a Taco Bell.
We're like, it's not that bad. You don't have to do this.
Yeah. He's like, you don't understand.
I love doing this.
Yeah. It's all I know. Yeah.
So Tim and I started as a duo, and that was the OG Radio Envy. And then I started playing solo.
Okay.
And it was around that time, shortly thereafter, that Tim actually started playing with his dad and his brother.
That's right.
And they had a couple other band members.
They were Campbell Boys.
The Campbell Boys.
Mm. That's right.
Which makes sense because you guys, you know, you're
well, three of us were Campbells. So.
And then after that, this is like year after year after year. The third year, I was like, I need to do something more. And around that time, honestly, it was tough for us to get gigs. So we weren't playing as frequently as I would have liked. Mm-hmm. So that's why the diversification was kind of integral to keeping the energy up. And so I tried out for a band.
All those corporate buzzwords just kind of caught us by surprise.
Am I in a meeting right now?
It's paradigm thinking. Outside the box.
Let's put that in the parking lot. We'll come back to it.
Yeah. That's funny.
Well,
so
I tried out for a cover band. Yeah. And
what Bacon, band were you in?
It was a band called Rock Soup.
Rock Soup.
Yep.
Where'd you guys play?
We played at Uptown Alley. We played at a couple of places I don't even around.
Velocity
Wings.
Red Rocks.
We played at Red Rocks. We played at
Red Rocks was because of me though. There were a bunch of gigs that
we got.
It was kind of a back and forth.
Lion and Bull, back when Lion and Bull
that's
was
right.
around.
I was there.
Over Haymarket.
Yeah. We played as a band for about a year and a half, and then the band disbanded, and I asked Bacon what he was doing, and he said nothing. I said, you want to grab some drums and come hang out with us?
We asked Bacon. And go ahead.
And because we were already an acoustic act, I don't remember who suggested it. It was probably you. That suggested to bring in the congas.
Yep. Yeah.
It was a great addition.
Yeah.
It's probably been one of the best decisions we've ever made as a band.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bacon.
That's true. Mean,
he's speaking professionally, not personally.
No, in both ways. I mean, I really think that he adds an element that we couldn't do before.
Yeah. You can fit your whole fist in his asshole.
Bacon's asshole's as big as a mason jar.
Unbelievable. So this will be on the outtakes. Well done, Bacon. That was perfect. Out of the whole night, that was perfect timing. That was spot on.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway.
I almost didn't make it through as it was coming out. I started laughing. He adds a different element to it.
Bacon's been with us since 2018, 2017.
I was going to say it's probably six or seven years.
5 years?
I think 18. I think it was 18 because the first time you played were 2017 and he wasn't there yet.
Okay.
You brought him probably
closer
after about
2020,
three
really, because.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, yeah.
Because I played with you guys maybe for 2 or 3 months before COVID hit.
Okay.
Okay.
It seems like longer.
It does seem like longer. Yeah. Maybe it was 20. Maybe they started playing in 2018.
Maybe.
And then you came in about a year later.
Well, yeah, we've been, he and I have been playing since
2017.
14.
But that was the connection.
At Sinistral.
Oh, at Sinistral. Yeah, since 2017. Yeah.
But yeah, that playing in a band, like a cover band, mm-hmm. especially with all the components, the bass, drums, dual guitar, vocals. I'm describing a band.
I know. I'm just still thinking
about the breaking news. About the
breaking news. God damn it. All right, I'm done talking.
Sorry, no, you're good. Keep going.
I was going to say that there's...
I don't know. I'm blamed it and I did
Put
it too.
Put your hand in my ass.
It doesn't fit as well.
Hand. There are a lot of personalities.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of personalities.
Yeah. Tens and sevens.
And unless there is consistent or open communication, there's a lot of things that can go wrong very quickly and very easily. And I think that that's kind of what happened. I think we had our guitarist... He had a certain vision for the band, and we I think he had the vision before I joined the band, mm-hmm. and we hit that mark, but then it felt like we still needed something a little bit more.
Yeah.
And he kept trying to make some adjustments. We also had a tough time with our bass player. He wanted to do an adult tumbling class instead of play bass guitar with us.
Sadly, that's true.
I'll never not get tired of that joke. What are the questions you got? That's how we met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You, your dad, and you have my older brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So Cookie has been in touch with you guys. I guess you guys, the family band's going to play at Central?
Yeah, we just got to pick a date.
Okay.
And get back to her.
Good. Mm-hmm. And what kind of music do you guys play?
So my dad, we play a lot of stuff that my dad loves, right? Which is kind of the older stuff like America,
Eagles, Kansas,
CCR,
okay.
You know, all that kind of stuff. My brother and I try to throw in some other stuff. Mm-hmm. There might be a couple Radio Envy type songs that you've heard
before. No, there are a couple of Radio Envy songs like Apple Pie.
No. They tried to do Apple Pie without me, and I said, that's copyright infringement.
Absolutely.
Can we go back to that about
yeah.
Apple Pie, about the beer? Uh-huh. What I was going to tell you guys, when should we release that like in like October? Or do you guys want it? When do you want to do it?
How long does it take from coming up with an idea for a beer to actually...
To maturation?
Production, yeah.
Yeah.
Buzzword.
Like when,
good.
When can I taste it?
Oh, when can you...
As soon as it touches your tongue.
Yeah.
Well,
as soon as it hits
the maturation process.
Usually all of our beers, well, not usually, all of our beers, we generally don't pull until they're at least 24 days old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was much longer than that.
For our lagers, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But our pale ales, I can turn that probably 30 days.
Okay. But you're also, I mean, just the overall concept of a beer, like you're thinking like, when does it make sense to release certain beers? So, mm-hmm. but you might come up with an idea that's like a fantastic idea, but you're like, oh, now I got to wait. Until-
yeah. Well, I'm just trying to think of when that would make most sense, you know, in the summer. Would it be fine? More like a kind of a, you know, your, cause I could also make cider.
Do you want to hear the story behind the apple pie?
Yeah.
So the song actually came from...
It's about moonshine, though, isn't it?
It is about moonshine. Okay. So there is some truth to the stuff that we talk about on stage sometimes when we play that song. There was somebody that was producing this apple pie moonshine that on occasion, you know, got picked up and somehow found its way to our doorsteps.
That's
when
right.
we would practice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really delicious. And we shared that with another friend of ours who... you know, was not a part of the band and said, you guys should write a song about this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. And it was, I guess it was, it was around the fall time.
Yeah.
And so that's, we kind of attribute, that's part mm-hmm. of the reason why the lyrics are, you know, come on over, don't be late, and, you know, put your feet up around the fire kind of thing.
Had enough of the taste of Corona and lime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and that's why I was thinking, would it be a fall thing? Could we, are you guys playing around Halloween time? Is it an October thing? Is it a September thing?
Yeah, I'm thinking like September, October time frame would be ideal.
Okay,
but
that's easy.
Anywhere kind of in that area.
Now,
I think would be
could
best.
could we turn this into like a green apple pie beer?
So, generally, any apple flavor in a beer is an off flavor.
Okay.
But if you want green apple, it can. Sure.
Would that be? Is that? Would you use an extract for that?
Mm-mm.
No.
No, I'd use real apples.
Okay.
Or pressed. Cold pressed apple juice.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it could be.
We can get
sour.
Granny Smith's.
Yeah.
We can get, oh, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Can I get a schnitter? Yeah. What's a schnitter?
I don't know.
It's new. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll
no, we
take
could do
it.
That. We could do that because with our wine license, I can produce cider too.
Ooh.
So if you wanted a green apple cider. With cinnamon.
Is so let's say
and then
have,
we could lace it with the 15%
the
seltzer.
Yeah. We're gonna be playing October 5th.
That might be
on
it.
The calendar.
Okay.
So let's say you have an idea for a beer
mm-hmm.
and you're not sure if you want to mass produce it, but you mm-hmm. want to try it.
Mm-hmm.
So you do small batch?
No, I just go for it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What happens if it comes out shit? What do you do then? I mean, I'm not implying that.
Talking to?
I'm not implying that you would do that.
It's kind of, unless you really, really, really fuck up a recipe, it's not hard to make a bad beer because we do it all the time. You know, beer is subjective, right? Some people might think it's the best beer in the world. Other people would be like, oh, that tastes like dog shit, which, you know, sure.
That's their flavor palette.
That's you, you know.
Your dog shit.
No.
You don't like my beer? Yeah. Don't ever come back here again.
This is my dog shit IPA.
They smoked it. Yeah, exactly.
It's my 90 minute.
They smoked a pack of Camel Lights before they came in, and then they're drinking the beer, and they're like, wow, this really tastes bad. I'm like, oh,
got a real tobacco flavor. I don't know.
Yeah. So that's the kind of things you deal with when people are tasting beer. But there's recipes that are kind of that we've done, and then we just build onto them. If that makes sense, the base is already there. I know how to make this beer, and I know when I add this extra component, this adjunct to it, I'll make it work, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not really worried about it. It's how much to add, because once it's in there, you can't get it out, right?
But are there different stages throughout the process of your 24 or 30 days that you're tasting it to make sure that it's hitting certain milestones?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's usually every day.
No shit.
Yeah, you got to drink unfortunate. It every day. Yeah.
Well, doesn't the ABV then kind of change?
Huh?
Doesn't the ABV change over the course of the
I'm talking every day, like when it's finished fermenting.
Okay.
And it's in its kind of rest period, and it's just mellowing, and it's everything's coming together.
Okay.
That's when I start tasting my
beer.
And they call that when it's conditioning, right? So when it's sitting and it's maturing and it's doing everything, and it's lagering, right, is part of conditioning, right? So if it's lagering, I'm tasting it every day, looking at clarity, making sure it's where it needs to be. Most of our lagers, they're usually about 35 days on conditioning, so it's probably 15 to 20 days for fermentation, and then another 30 to 35 days.
Okay.
On top of that.
All right. You ready for a this or that?
Oh, no.
So it's a game.
Okay.
That we're going to play with you real quick, or that I'm going to shout off some stuff here. And it is this or that. It's a one or the other. It's not a, well, maybe this. No.
Can't do both. Matty D did.
Like,
yeah, he tried.
Like
to do
Angelina
both.
Jolie, Charlize Theron.
Both.
Yes.
Both.
You can.
I know.
This or that.
You can. Yeah. All right. So I'm gonna start off easy.
Mm-hmm.
Angel hair or linguine?
Linguine.
Why?
Because I think it holds more sauce.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And there's a little more starch to them. Mm-hmm. And it just, you can make really, the sauces are better with linguine.
I think I might be with you on
that
one. Tequila or gin?
Oh, gin makes me stabby, sir. Tequila. Yeah.
I knew you were a whiskey and bourbon guy, so I had to pick something else. All right. Leica or Nikon?
Oh.
Now, I guess I'm talking more body versus lens, but.
Yeah.
Are we talking cameras?
I think so.
Okay.
Nikon. Sorry. Not Nikon. Just a Nikon. Yeah.
Yeah. Beach or mountains?
Mountains.
Peppermint or wintergreen?
You stumped him.
He is stumped.
No, I'm not stumped.
Because
Cookie and I had this fucking argument. She bought this gum.
And, don't call it double mint.
And no. And it's called, it's that.
Orbitz.
Orbitz. And it's sweet mint. And it's sweet mint. That's clean. Okay. Clean up your mouth.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Dirty mouth, clean up. Yeah.
You mint liquor.
Yeah. And it's sweet mint. And she's like, this isn't even mint. And I'm like, yes, it is. And she's like, no, it doesn't. It tastes like bubble gum. I said, you need to have your router fixed. I said,
you said it though, right? You said it.
It's not. It's sweet mint. And she's like, I don't get any mint. I'm like, there's mint in there. She's like, no, it tastes like Hubble Bubble with stuff on it. I'm like, no, it does not. It's sweet mint. Mint. Not wintergreen.
Peppermint.
Got it. Peppermint. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that you have a lot of hobbies, golfing or fishing?
Oh, fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of felt that. Yeah.
Yeah. There's golfing's great. Now, don't get me wrong. I love to go play golf with you guys.
You're both great golfers. Tim
Jeez. Oh,
wow. I think in comparison, that's Tim's happy place. And I think your happy place is fishing.
My happy place is fishing, but I'm also happy playing golf too. Yeah. I think I'm happy playing golf with the right people.
Costco or BJ's?
Everybody loves BJ's.
He's in our band. We love him too. As long as he didn't change to Azure Vox. Jesus.
90s hip hop or 80s pop?
90s hip hop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm with you on that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Blaine, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming out and hanging out with us. Cheers, you guys.
Cheers.
You can catch Blaine Perry at Sinistral Brewing Company, 9419 Main Street in Manassas, Virginia. Grab one of his delicious brews and say hi. You can find out more about Sinistral Brewing Company in our show notes, which includes their website, sinistralbrewingcompany.com. Find Blaine on Instagram at Blaine Perry and at Sinistral Brewing Company.
Bacon, feed us out.
All right. Oh! We're going to cut that part out.
Podcast Envy is a production of Bacon Wave Podcast Productions in cooperation with Revelry Media Productions. Michael Bacon engineered this episode. Video provided by Revelry Media Productions. If you like today's episode, tell your friends, share us with your family, and follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads at podcast.nv. Visit us at podcastnv.com to leave feedback or email us at feedback@podcastnv.com.